This meeting is called to order. Please stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Would you mind standing for a moment of silent meditation? Thank you. Okay, section two is recognitions. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Nolan to introduce the presenter.
Sure. If I could ask Trish Oletta to come up. Trish, as many of you know, has worked for a number of years now with our extended school program, and it's always our pleasure at this point in the year to recognize many of the young volunteers that have helped many of them for numerous years. So I'll turn it over to Trish at this point.
Thank you. President Scavo, Vice President Trippi, Superintendent Nolan, members of the Board of Education, and the Sachem Cabinet, we're thrilled to have this opportunity tonight to present to you some extraordinary young men and women. July 2013 marked the 28th year of Sachem's extended school year program for students with special needs. Populated by some of the most wonderful, enthusiastic, and hardworking students in Sachem District, and led by the finest, most talented, creative, and dedicated teachers, therapists, faculty, and staff anywhere, Sachem's extended school year program is also blessed to be supported by a team of young men and women who volunteer their summer days to help our students have a successful summer. We in the extended school year program know all too well that these exceptional young men and women had friends, siblings, and peers who slept late during the summer and enjoyed days relaxing, vacationing, or hanging out at the beach. The young men and women in this room, though, and many more who were unable to join us tonight due to other obligations, continued to rise early each day, sometimes earlier than they would have during their typical school year, and came to the school for the purpose of helping others. There's no nobler ambition. We are acutely aware that the tasks taken on by an extended school year volunteer are not always easy, and they're not always glamorous, but we want them to know without doubt or reservation that what they have given has been appreciated and that they are appreciated.
And this is a quick little blurb to our SESY volunteers. You have demonstrated so many outstanding qualities that it would be impossible to list them all, and this is just a few. Generosity and your willingness to give time to others. Dedication when you came back day after day after day after day and gave your all. Understanding because the lives of the students that you helped may have been very different from your own. Empathy and your ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and feel what they must feel. Compassion when you showed that you truly cared about making someone else's life better, and day after day we did see that. And patience, because we know that the process didn't always go as smoothly as everyone may have hoped it to. You've shown these qualities and so many more, and from all of us at the Extended School Year Program, for all of our students that you helped in so many ways, we want to say thank you. Thank you. We're going to call you up. We tried not to really hard this year, but we may have missed a couple of names. I'm really hoping not. But at the end of this, if we did not call your name, please come up and we'll rectify that. All right? And can we save the applause till the end, because there's a lot. There's a lot of blue here. There's a lot of blue. Okay.
Our sea of Sachem blue this summer. Let me call your name. If you come up, we'll give you a certification. You can.
Oh, I can?
Oh, sure.
All right. Let's go.
Mrs. Brown runs the volunteer program for the extended school year program, so she was in charge and orchestrated the entire program.
Patrick Abley. Danielle Andreese, and I'm not sure, there are a lot of students that are in college or couldn't make it, so we're going to read them anyway because they definitely deserve to be recognized. Sultana Andrews, Bethany Anson, Caitlin Arn, Aileen Baker, Angelica Bassuino, Keith Borger, Kenneth Brundage, Mackenzie Brunkwell. Tyler Brunkwell. A lot of sisters and brothers and siblings. They love it. Skylar Bunce. Aurora Burke. Marissa Cabrera. Ariana Cavallino. Maria Ciccone. Ashley Coakley. Victoria DiLorenzo. Marcus Dodona. Michelle Dodona. Lorraine Deal. Hunter Dishley. Heather Eamon. Jennifer Fryant, Colin Gallagher, Christina Gibaldi, Isabella Gibaldi, Kayla Kretzer. I always want to be a Mel in there. Evie Lombardis. Emily Leaf. Troy Lee. Shay McGrain. David Manguso. Yeah. Caitlin Martin. Erin Marzak. Kara Marzo, Peyton Marzo, John McLaughlin, Caitlin Moniz. I know she's here, right? And Alexandra Muscatelli. Olivia Mullins. Not nice. Tyler Morrell. Fatima Nakvi. Erin Noonan.
You have to make way through first.
Sarah Panabianco. David Perez. Stephanie Pershton. Cassie Pixler. Lauren Riley. Darian Reyes. Emily Robertson. Michael Schultz. Alexis Semler. Danielle Slattery. Kevin Slattery. Thomas Siren. Megan Tohill. Pierre Trevetti. Zachary Tufel. Nico Valerio. Rachel Weller. Julia Wertheim. A couple of people that already got their certificates are Owen McGovern, Max Ismailoff, and Olivia DeMeo. Did we get everyone? Okay. Good. That's a good day.
I just want to kind of give everybody one more minute. If there are people that are going to stay, certainly give them a minute to sit. Okay, brings us to the visitor section. We have a handful of visitors. Dorothy Stallone.
Good evening, Mr. Scavo, Board of Ed members, and Mr. Nolan. I'm speaking out tonight in regards to the Facilities Committee. As many of us know, an executive meeting was held last week to select the members of this committee. What we found out after the meeting is that the PTA was left out of this selection. The PTA is the core of this community. We are okay to use when it comes to budget vote time, when you need us to come to our meetings to help you with the budget, to fill a bus to Albany, and to also put together a rally. We are also there for budget vote night for all the PTAs to put together an event for people to come out and vote, to come and support the budget, to put together Meet the Candidate night so you can let the community know why you should be elected, for us to gather volunteers, to hand out flyers, and to also put up signs. As a PTA member, I have taken an oath, just like all of you, to do the right thing for this community. We have to put our own feelings aside many times to do the right thing. Not sure why you have chosen to personally exclude a group that for many years has supported this budget and this board. Why would you want to exclude a group that wants nothing but the right thing for this community? Some people might ask, why is the PTA, why do they want to be involved? Why? Because we care, because we work hard. We work hard all year round, not just during budget vote time. We reach out to the community for food drives. We help families in need at Thanksgiving. We put fundraisers and breakfasts together to help families give gifts for children at the holidays. We organize teams to help fight for the cure for cancer, for Making Strides, and Relay for Life. We educate our community, bringing in programs about bullying. We educate our students and provide chips for workshops for them. And when a family or staff member is in need, it is the PTA who steps up and shows support for them. And in the event the schools were to close, it will once again be the PTA who will help the students and the families adjust to the new surroundings. So why wouldn't we want to be involved about something that is so crucial in this community? I believe my response speaks for itself. I am able to decide right from wrong. I have no hidden agenda, no alliance to any school or building. One may say, well, if PTA is involved, they will defend their school. Well, if you think the parents that you selected won't do the same, you are clearly mistaken. It is so disheartening to know that this board has decided to leave out such a dedicated group of people, a group that for years has supported you and this district, for years went to bat for this district, for years had put personal feelings aside to do the right thing. It is time to stop pointing fingers, and it is time for a change, and a change to come together as a community. The community deserves more. We deserve the truth. We deserve the right to voice our opinion and not be worried that we will face the consequences for doing so. As always, I may not agree with all of you. However, I've extended my hand out many times, and I have thanked you. I'd let you know how much I respect all of you and willing to work with all of you for the good of this community. I've always put my personal feelings aside to work together because that is who I am when I took the oath of a proud PTA member. And last, I did my homework and I contacted New York State and I spoke with Mr. Rob Freeman. And in regards to this, he has informed me that under the open law meeting 105, the Board of Ed cannot discuss a group in an executive session unless it pertains to a corporation. And past Board of Ed, district employees, and PTA do not fall under this. This must be discussed in an open meeting. Furthermore, under the law 106, you cannot vote in a closed meeting. And technically, according to Mr. Freeman, you took action. And the reason you took action is because you contacted all the people who did and did not get selected on this committee. So I am asking, if this has been a violation of the open law meeting 105, then how did this possibly happen last week?
I'm not familiar with that particular law, but I would have to refer to counsel on that.
You want me giving legal advice in public session in response to that question?
Not in public session, but then you could advise us.
I certainly will advise the board as to any concern about an open meetings law violation, without a doubt.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Long. Jim LaCaruba.
Good evening, members of the board, members of the cabinet. First and foremost, I want to just congratulate those students who were up here before that got on it. It's nice to see that the board still recognizes good work by our kids. I had written a bunch of stuff to say tonight about the facilities committee, but I'm just going to put it aside because I'm just disappointed. Disappointed. Not surprised you're not that aware of the open meetings law because it was clearly violated in this situation. Very disappointed in how this board made a decision behind closed doors to exclude certain groups and not do what your job is. What you put out there in a memorandum that's on your website, which I printed out, I won't cite it word for word, but you said you were going to take committee members that represent this district and this community as a whole, and by just unilaterally wiping out individual groups and saying, now we don't want to anybody from the PTA, we don't want any past board members, we don't want any of this, which was clear by all the emails everybody got from all the people I spoke to. You're not taking the best representative sample of this community I don't even know if the group represents all four corners of this district, if there's enough secondary involvement, if there's enough elementary involvement. I'm going to ask to see it. I'm going to ask the board tonight to put this resolution aside and rethink it and take people on their merit, not on who they're affiliated with, because that's what matters. That's how you represent this community. You don't just decide that the people who give up their time, their effort, their money to help our kids, to help our community time and time again, and because of an affiliation with a certain organization or a past volunteer effort for this district, you just shovel to the side. Doesn't matter if you have any experience in understanding building maintenance or demographics or class size or any of the background that any of these folks may have that got just randomly pushed off to the side and said, nah, we're not even going to look at them because of who they're with. It's really shameful, and it should be reconsidered. You have a great community here. Community wants to get involved in this district. Everybody's facing tough challenges at home. You all face tough challenges with the decisions that you have to make as board members. But we're still a community. We've worked very hard. We are Sachem. This is our community. We expect to be treated with a little bit more respect from the Board of Education, from each of you as an individual. And I urge you to take another look at this, because the leadership up here that I'm seeing on this and on all the 5-4s I see when I look at the agendas, I think some things really need to be rethought. But please, I urge you, take another look at this and look at people, not at who they're with, but the actual benefit that they can provide to you as a board and to this community. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Laura Slattery.
Good evening, Superintendent Nolan and members of the Board of Ed. I'm totally off topic tonight, but it's a topic that I've emailed you all, and I just want it brought out in public so it can, for a future agenda item, be discussed. I know I have sent numerous emails regarding the late bus situation, but I just wanted to follow it up at this Board of Ed meeting. I understand that others, aside from student athletes, take the late buses, including, as one Board of Ed member responded, the drama students. Are you getting many complaints from the high school students regarding no late buses? It's now October, and I know many have worked out carpools, and speaking only for student athletes, I can tell you we're halfway through our season, and so far, so good. Not one complaint. Are parents stating that the 5 and 6 p.m. buses are more important than our overcrowded classrooms, our shortage of supplies, our laying off of teachers, and everything else in this district? Is that what they're complaining to you about? It is time that we all sacrifice. The first budget was defeated, and it is time we all pitch in and help our community. Are these the same parents who voted down the first budget and say we should do more with less? Well, we are doing more with less, and it's about time everybody else does more with less. There are sacrifices to be made, and we all need to do what we can do to help out in bad times. I find it hard to believe that there are hundreds affected by the elimination of the late buses at the high schools, but maybe I am wrong. I just want everyone to understand that reinstating these late buses means something else must go or something else will not be fixed. Last week, it came to Coach Falco's attention that there was a shortage of science stools at Sachem North. Kids were standing in science labs for over an hour and a half because they had no stools. Last night, at his request, our Touchdown Club meeting approved a $1,500 donation to Sachem North for academic enhancement, some of which will be used to purchase the stools and anything else that is short at Sachem North at this time. We will help out with whatever we can. I think priorities have to be set and addressed, and the many issues that are now falling or as part of the fallout of the defeated budget must be looked at as an overall. You can't just approve buses when you don't even know what else is going wrong, or you're just unilaterally deciding that this is the most important thing working out our community. The first budget was defeated. We all know that meant we had to sacrifice. We are sacrificing. We are carpooling. We ask that others in the high schools do the same thing, pitch in, help out our district when we need them. Thank you.
Ms. Larry, if you want, I could just comment on that, on the buses. We did get some complaints from parents.
Hundreds of complaints?
Well, I wouldn't say hundreds, but certainly
enough.
Well,
I know there's hundreds
complaints.
Of complaints over overcrowded classrooms and shortage of teachers.
If I could just say, I'm not aware of the seating issues in science. I'm certainly, it's
the
first.
The science lab, it's taken care
first,
of now.
First we're hearing of it.
Okay.
But understand, with regards to the busing situation, we did have a conversation in open session, okay, at the time when we were looking at parochial school busing, as well as whether or not we want to change the mileage, okay, for our own public school kids, okay, and this topic did come up, and we did have a very long conversation. It wasn't the recommendation of our transportation supervisor because of the amount of money and the possible risks associated with kids crossing very dangerous roads. This week alone, we had two of our students walking to a bus stop and walking home from school, okay, that were approached, okay, by cars.
Okay. From a bus stop.
Walking home from school.
Okay.
From St. Jude.
We're all carpooling, okay. So we're driving
but
our kids back and forth.
So the thing is, understand, I mean, when we look at the budget,
okay,
we know that it's a bad fiscal year, okay? But we look at some areas where we may have expenditures that we thought we were going to have, and we don't.
Okay.
And as a result of it, the board has always had the discretion to juggle certain things that may be important to students or families, whether it be clubs, whether it be transportation, whether it's whatever. I mean, last week we restored $170,000 for secondary insurance, okay?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying.
Because of families that didn't have insurance, so in the event that they got hurt on an athletic field, those families would be in for thousands.
I'm just saying, in my circle, I'm just not hearing any. We're in October. Everybody's worked out carpools and is mm-hmm. figuring it out. So I'm not hearing hundreds of complaints about, there's no 6 o'clock bus anymore. Yeah. We've all worked it out.
Early on, we did get a lot of complaints.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But that's why we, and it's not just, to clarify, it's not just sports bus. I mean, as Mr. Cerny said in his email,
there's drama,
there's kids that it affects your health.
I know, but I think I would rather have my sports teams and my drama program and figure out a carpool with my friends and neighbors than not have it at all. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, no, I understand it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis O'Hara.
Good evening. I just want to start by saying last time I spoke to the board, I was a little bit disrespectful. I went over my time, and I want to apologize for that. It won't happen again. But I am here tonight about the facilities committee because I'm a little bit surprised, too. And I also did read up about the rules of executive session, and it says executive session is a portion of a school board meeting that is not open to the public. It is permitted only for a limited number of specific purposes that include the following subjects, and it's listed letters A through H, and nothing on this list covers this topic of forming committees or notifying people or doing things like that. So I think you might have an issue on this one. But my concern is this, too. If it's true that people were excluded, those that wanted to be part of this committee were excluded simply because they may have worked in the district or may have been a former board member or maybe a PTA volunteer or maybe a coach or whatever it may be, doesn't make sense to me. Because my question to the board is, what makes you think that anyone on this Board of Education is capable of questioning my ability to be objective? And also, I feel like saying, how dare you impugn the integrity of anybody who may have volunteered? And if you think the people in the community who have volunteered for things don't have the ability to be objective, well, then what special powers do any of you have that would give you the ability to be objective? It's very confusing to me. And the first gentleman who spoke, or the second person who spoke, mentioned making decisions based on merit. You know, I mean, this isn't sour grapes for me because I understand you don't get selected for every committee you apply for. You might not get every job you apply for. I get that. That's life. But I submitted a resume that I think has enough substance that shows that I could offer insights. And I have an experience base that I think would help. So I'm not sure what group I belong to that would have excluded me, to be honest with you. But I can't imagine, if you folks read my resume, that it would be lacking. So I hope you reconsider, because I really want to serve. I want to do the best I can to help. I want to bring insights. And it's unfortunate that we're in this situation, but hopefully we can get some correction. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ken Dobbins.
Evening, Mr. Nolan, Mr. Scavo, and school board. For those of you who don't know me, I think most of you do, my name is Ken Dobbins, and I'm a Sachem teacher at Sachem East. I am also a Sachem grad, as well as my brother and sister have been. And my parents still live in Holbrook in the same house that we grew up in, and my aunts and uncles who went through Sachem live in also. So as you can see, we have a long, Sachem and I have a long history together, and so does my family. And I hope that my family will continue through the integrity of my nieces and nephews, all who at one point will be going through East and North. My reason for being here is, as I said, I'm nearing my 25th year working here at Sachem. And in that time working at North and East, I've run two of the largest clubs, one being the senior class, the other one being the drama club. And I've done that for 18 and 16 years respectively. The reason I'm here today, as you can see, I'm no stranger to hard work. I'm no stranger to making sure things get done. I take what I do passionately. And I'm here right now because on the agenda tonight, I'm being led to believe that we might be possibly eliminating one advisor for 3 out of the 4 grade levels. Now, again, working with these people for a long time and knowing what happens, I just don't think that's fair to the students. We have possibly between 500 and 600 students per grade level that come through the school, at least when I get them at the senior class. And I think it's an integral part for them to have that, starting in 9th grade, continuing to 10th, 11th, up until I get them in 12th grade. And it's not a position that I really can think that can be done efficiently and correctly with one advisor. With the budget cuts that have been happened, I've been here for a while. I've gone through the ups and downs with you guys through Sachem. I understand we'll get through this. I hope we get through this again. But right now, with eliminating one position and having a lot of the clubs cut almost 50%, if not 50% already, these students don't have much left to work with and to be a part of. Whereas class government, they don't have to sign up for it. They're automatically a part of it. And I think by cutting one advisor, we're also going to be limiting what is going to be available for them so they don't get the experience that I feel that they should get. So again, I know you guys have a tough job. I know that your decisions are not easy ones. I just felt the need to come in here as a teacher, as an advisor, and just speak my piece for my fellow workers who do a lot of this work and are a backbone, like the many backbones we have here at Sachem. And I'd like to see it continue and Sachem be the way it is. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Dana Platon.
Good evening. Tonight I'm here speaking to you as a representative for the SCTA. I am a representative for the aides of this district. And on behalf of the kindergarten aides, I feel you really need to reconsider going forward next year, bringing back full-time kindergarten aides. I am one of the 20 women who were accessed as a kindergarten aide. I can tell you that each and every one of us is completely heartbroken about it. It's a job that we love to do, but that's not why I'm sitting here. We've all embraced our new positions as special education aides, and we're moving forward, and we're having positive years. I happen to be placed in a kindergarten class, however, and so I'm with the class all day, everywhere the class goes. And at recess, in the last week and a half, the lack of kindergarten aides has been a huge safety issue. In the last week and a half, we have had one student with a bloody nose, we've had several skid knees, and we had a little boy who fell face first and got a face full of wood chips. So he got scrapes on his cheek. There is no kindergarten aide at recess. So how do you get these kids who are bleeding and crying to the nurse from outside? It's a safety issue. A few days ago in the cafeteria, Little girl from my class fell backwards and bumped the back of her head and had an egg-sized shaped lump on the back of her head. I cannot leave my student, so I can't take it to the nurse. Everyone always looks to me to help out because I have been a kindergarten aide there for the last several years. How do you get a student to the nurse? You have to rely now on another kindergartner, and it's only October. They're still learning the building, they still don't have the maturity, and yet another kindergartner is taking them to the nurse's office. You have shared aides who are doing the very best that they can between two classes, and they're not getting enough accomplished because they're not in one place for long enough. Centers are not running smoothly, the teachers are not getting the assistance that they need, and the bottom line, it's about the children and the children's safety. And honestly, I am in a kindergarten classroom every single day, not doing the job of a kindergarten aide, so I can't pitch in, but kids are really going to suffer because they're not having the extra person in the room. It's not just about zipping zippers and tying shoes. Having that extra adult in the room is a huge safety factor, and I think you really need to reconsider that come September.
Thank you, Dan. Jim Kinnon.
Mr. Scavo, Mr. Nolan, members of the board, I'm not going to take much of your time up. I, too, put in an application and wasn't accepted, but in all honesty, I don't know why, and it's really your choice. So I'm not joining any outcry as to why I wasn't selected. I wasn't selected, and so be it. However, sitting there listening to some of the other speakers that came up, something pops right out at me. And that's, it seems that you guys have some kind of a serious breach of your exec session. And I would suggest you ask counsel to reiterate to all your board members, if it's a leak, the consequences of leaking out exec session information. Now, I don't know if that happened. I'm just going by what I heard, and it seems like people have an awful lot of insight into what went on in that room last week. So that's something that concerns me. It should concern you. That being said, also, it's obvious that there's some controversy surrounding this committee already. And that's not a good thing. It's not good for a committee to start and already there's controversy. You're going to have people that are going to be advocating, yes, but you're going to have people now from the outside advocating people that are on the inside. And it can turn ugly fast. And I'm just going to end this with a suggestion. Unless you board members tonight are unanimous in selecting this committee that you have on the agenda, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but unless you're unanimous, don't do it. Scrap the whole idea. Because if you guys aren't unanimous and the community has controversy, you're going to have some serious issues. This committee will fail.
Thank you, Ms. Cannon. Carol, any more visitors? It brings us to the business items. Okay. Item 4A, bid awards. Okay, for our Long Island Food Service Co-op bid. Any motion, please? Mike Gisernia, second. Okay, Sal Trippi. Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 5, consent agenda for personal items 5A1 through 5D2. It's going to take us from page 2 to page 6 to make a motion. Sal Trippi, second. Mike Gisernia. Any questions or discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion's carried. Like we've done in the past, I just want to acknowledge one person that's on here for a tenure appointment, Melissa Casio, special education teacher assistant. I want to thank her for her hard work and service and certainly congratulate her on her tenure tonight. I'm not sure, is she in the audience, Melissa? No? So if you could extend that congratulations for us. Item 6, okay, mini contracts, okay, consent agenda for action items 611 through 616, okay, any motion, please? All right, Mike Gisernia, second. All right, Mike Timo. Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-2, appointment of budget advisory committee members. Motion, please? All right, Sal Trippi, second. Mike Timo, okay, any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. M63, approval of donation, Stuart Terzopoulos. And a motion, please. Okay, Mike Cerny, second by Sal Trippi. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-4, approval of donation, Ms. Mary Rossi. A motion, please. Okay, Mike Cerny, second. Okay, Mike Timo. Any questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's carried. Item 6-5, approval of coaching assignments for the 2013-14 school year. A motion, please. Mike Timo, second. Okay, Mike Asernia. Any questions or discussions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-6, approval of translators and interpreters for the 2013-14 school year. Any motion, please? And Mike Asernia, second by Sal Trippi. Okay, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-7, approval of applied behavioral specialists. Motion, please. Okay, Mike Asernia, any second? Okay, Sal Trippi. Any questions or discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-8, approval of budget transfers of $50,000 or greater. Motion, please. Mike Asernia, second. And Sal Trippi. Any questions or discussions on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-9, approval of donation, Target Corporation. Motion, please. Okay, Mike Asernia, second. Sal Trippi. Okay, any questions, discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-10, approval of extracurricular clubs activities for the 2013-14 school year. Motion, please. Okay, Mike Asernia, second by Sal Trippi. Any questions or discussions? That's Dorothy?
Paul, I just have a question. I don't know if you know the answer or if the building principals would know. When they look at the clubs in each high school and they look at the honor societies, do they, the principals speak to each other as far as what they're offering in each school with the honor societies?
They do.
They do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they even as far as if the honor societies that are offered at East are the same honor societies offered at North as well?
I think it's based on what they've run on the in the past and also who's interested in running the Honor Society. I know there's some missing here. They're still trying to get advisors.
Okay. That's the only thing that I would be somewhat concerned about is that to make sure that the students at East and at North have the same opportunities when they're applying to college, especially with the Honor Societies, that they would be able to have that on their college resume. So can we find out for
sure?
I
will.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Any questions or any other concerns regarding clubs? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-11, recommendation from the Committee on Special Education. Any motion, please? Okay, Mike Asernia, second by Sal Trippi. Okay, any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6-12, approval of facilities study committee members. Any motion, please? Mike Asernia, second by Sal Trippi. Questions or discussion? I just want to make one up. Does somebody have a question? Christine?
Yes, I do think that we need to give a little more discussion to this. I think we need to table this issue if I have anybody, everyone is in agreement, so that we can further discuss this.
What? Certainly we could do whatever the board majority wants to do. I have no problem with that. I do think that we did have several different people drop out for various reasons, whether it was a health, whether it was a work commitment. We have at least three people that that dropped off the list as a result of that. I would like the board to consider adding additional members to this committee. Once again, rather than having the discussion out here, I want to get any type of legal advice from our counsel as to whether or not that's individual discussion happens out here or back there. But I do want the board to consider. I'd like to put these people through, with the understanding that we're going to add some more people that to fill those positions that were eliminated. If you guys want to table it, we could do that as well. Mr. Falco?
Yeah. At this point, I believe it should be tabled. I agree with all the people on this list. I don't have a problem with it, but there's too much controversy right now in this whole committee. I think we have to speak to the facilitator again. We have to get a direct, I mean, he gave us a number, and I think we have to question that number. I mean, this is a very large district. To limit it to 20 people, I think, is not fair to the community. So at this point, I'm in favor of tabling.
Mr. Attorney?
I just want to point out to everybody who's here whose name is on this list that the discussion going on is in no way a reflection of anybody's questioning of your ability to carry out whatever charge we're going to give you. In fact, no one who came up here has questioned anybody on this list. This is an internal discussion regarding additions to this committee, and please don't take it anybody personally.
All right. Any other comments? Hey, Mike?
Rob, I think it's important that we point out the facilitator, who I don't believe anyone on this board has met or spoken to the best of my knowledge, has not presented to this board. And it was the very strong position of the facilitator that members of the PTA were not involved. And that's what we got in an email. I, for one, would rather not make a decision based on an email. I would like to hear that person's, you know, come to the podium and speak in front of a crowd like this and explain why they made that strong recommendation that we do not include PTA members. I'd like to know that. And maybe what I just did...
It was PTA officers, not members.
PTA officers, I'm sorry. So, you know, maybe just by mentioning that, I just mentioned something that happened back there. But that was a recommendation that we got, I guess, as an email. I don't recall seeing that specific email, but that was something that was strongly recommended. And I, for one, would like to also table this, as Tony said. I'd like the facilitator to be here for and face us, meet us, meet the crowd out here, and explain the reasons why he made such a recommendation.
Okay. Dorothy? No. Oh, Doug?
Yeah, I agree with the comments from Tony and especially from Mike. You know, we've never even met this facilitator, and, you know, I think it's been a backwards process, and I think at this point we need to stop the process and kind of reboot it a little bit, meet the facilitator, have some feedback and dialogue with him, and then sit down and go from there. As it is right now, I think this list is incomplete tonight, so I'd like to table it.
Bruce, as far as tabling it, our next meeting is scheduled for when? 23rd. Does that set us back? Is a meeting scheduled for tomorrow night?
The first meeting's tomorrow with the committee.
Yeah, I would say, especially since so many of the folks are here, and I think what, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think people are objecting to those who are already a part of the list. I think what people are asking is to at least open up discussion to possibly add more people. But I do think, in fairness to those who are here who are on this list, and Mike said it, that, you know, in no way is this speaking ill of anybody who's on that list. I think what I'm hearing is that folks would like to possibly open it up, and Rob had mentioned that even today we had somebody last second contact us and say because of recent health issues she cannot make the commitment. So I know at least three or four who have said at this point that they cannot be a part of it.
And like I said, I mean, I don't have, you know, the board, obviously, you know, we have two different opinions but certainly I would want to add people. I mean, I would have no problem approving and then adding people and then possibly even coming out tonight and voting on it if we're able to do that.
If you wanted to have a discussion about the permissible scope of the board's consideration of qualifications and what may or may not occur in executive session, that legal advice is something that's appropriate for, you know, a brief adjournment to executive session. If there's a question about that, I certainly could address that, and then that might shed some light on the action that you take here in the alternative, either tabling the matter or voting on it for two different groups, whatever the board's pleasure is something that you can do.
Okay, so Chris, you can provide us with some legal counsel prior to this.
Of course.
Okay. Is there a leaning of the board to go into exec session to discuss? Is this?
That's what I'm making. I'm.
And the purpose would be for legal advice regarding issues related to the permissible scope of executive session items and open meetings law advice.
Okay. Sal made a motion. Is there a second to go into Sal? Okay. I have a motion and a second. All in favor to go into exec session to discuss, Dorothy, to discuss a legal matter. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion's carried. All right, we'll be right out. I need a motion to come back into open session. Mike Isserny, second by Mike Timo. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're now back in open session. The board did have a discussion back there. We did get legal advice from our counsel. What I will tell you is that tomorrow night is an open meeting. Anybody could attend tomorrow night's open meeting for the facilities study meeting that's going to take place at 7:30. Is that correct? Oh, it's right here. I certainly will encourage everybody to come. All right, the board is going to add additional members, okay, to that. So we will have a discussion, and additional members will be added to the facilities committee. We don't know how many, you know, it could be several, but we are going to add additional members. So I would encourage everybody to come to that meeting. We are going to have a discussion again. We are going to look at resumes again, okay, and we're going to come to a final conclusion as to how many we're going to add. So, yes.
We will not be having that discussion tonight, correct? We will be scheduling a special meeting of the board to discuss adding additional members to that committee, correct?
Is it going to be is that the leaning of the board, additional meeting?
I agree with an additional. I don't think we should be doing it tonight when people are not here.
Okay. So a separate meeting will be scheduled for that, and we will add the additional people to this committee. So, as of right now, we have I'll find my paperwork here a second. We have a motion and a second, but we also have a motion to table. Do I have it?
I guess the question will be, would Ms. Lampitelli withdraw that motion?
Ms. Lampitelli, do you want to withdraw that motion? Okay. So I have a motion and a second, okay, to approve item 612. You got that, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. So I forget who made the motion on 612. Could you reach me, Mike? I certainly got a second by Trippy. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. All right. The individuals that were selected tonight or were approved tonight, they're going to meet with Carol Edelberg after the meeting to be sworn in. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we will schedule additional meeting to add additional members to this committee. All right. Item 613, approval of auditor's report. Before we do this, I know we kind of skipped over Don Hoffman. Don Hoffman is here.
No, Dave Sparrow. Don Hoffman's the other auditor. Dave is here.
I'm sorry. Dave, I'm going to ask Dave to come up and do the presentation before we actually vote on this. Where is it? Dave, you want to come up?
Dave's our external auditor from Toski.
Okay.
They do a financial review. Don Hoffman will be talking to us at the next board meeting about internal audit review.
Okay. Is the button, the green button lit? Just push that button in the middle.
It's lit now. good evening. My name is David Sparrow. I'm a director with Toski & Company, and we are the external auditors for the school district and have been for several years. It's been my pleasure to have been the director on this engagement for each of those years. And this evening, I am here to present the audit report for the 2012-13 school year that was just concluded. You are a June 30th fiscal year. I believe in the packets that you received, there were several reports. And my purpose is not to review them in detail. There was an extensive meeting held last evening with the audit committee, and the reports and the contents were reviewed in significant detail with the members of that committee at that time. My purpose here this evening is to just briefly summarize the results of the audit. There is a report, and the first foremost important thing that we should know is that this report has been prepared by Bruce and his staff, and the contents of this report are the responsibility of Bruce and his staff and the school district. The application of GAP, the preparation of the information, the maintenance of the internal controls, everything between the covers on this particular document is the responsibility of the board, except for one page. That page is the opinion. That is the sole purpose for which the board engages us. We come out, we examine all the supporting documentation, and render an opinion as to the fair presentation of the contents of this report. The first three pages of this report contain our opinion, and it's the page that contains our letterhead on it. The third page of this document, or the second page of this document, I'm sorry, has a paragraph which under the new clarity standards is labeled opinions. And it says that, in our opinion, this financial statement fairly presents the financial position of the district and the results of its operations for the 12 months ended June 30th, 2013. It is unmodified, it is unqualified, it is in conformance with GAAP. There were some changes in accounting principle. Bruce and his staff have incorporated all of those changes into this document. It is in conformance with all the government accounting standards with which it should be in conformance with. They did a fine job in the preparation of the document. The last several pages of this document contain the single audit. The single audit is a separate audit, and it addresses only the federal financial assistance programs with the district administers on behalf of the federal government or with federal funds. There are two letters that are associated with that. One is a report on internal control. The other is a report on in compliance with the laws and regulations that govern the use of those dollars. There were no exceptions with regard to the internal controls or material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. Those are the professional buzzwords. We found none of those in our examination of the controls that you have in place. That is the words you want to hear, and that is the state of the affairs with the school district as far as its administration of those dollars. Furthermore, there is a report on compliance, compliance with regard to all the program requirements for each and every one of those material programs for which you did receive federal financial assistance funds. There were no instances of non-compliance that we detected, and that is a good thing. There were, as a result, you have an unmodified opinion with regard to your federal financial assistance programs. You have no exceptions. You have no findings and or question costs with regard to your administration of those dollars. You have a management letter, which is traditionally issued in connection with every engagement, every audit engagement that our firm participates in. This year, it is as benign as it can possibly be. And it is the only thing that it contains, quite frankly, is the upcoming accounting pronouncement with which Bruce and his staff need to be cognizant of, because they will be getting phased in over the course of the next several years, and he needs to know that those things are coming down the pike so that he and his staff can prepare for the implementation of them. Some will have no impact, one may have some impact, and again, that was discussed last evening, and Bruce is cognizant of what that is, and the information on how that will be implemented is several years down the road, and it'll be predicated based on information provided probably by the New York State Office of the State Comptroller. The last thing I want to say is that the there is a document in here entitled Report to the Board. There is a concept that financial statements are finitely accurate when in fact nothing could be farther from the truth. These financial statements, like every financial statement, are latent with estimates, and you have several. Depreciable lives of assets is one of them. Quite frankly, that's kind of just an accounting a jargon term, but there are two others that are significant. One is your other post-employment benefits. That is the estimated cost of the future health insurance benefits that are going to be provided to the retirees of the district. It is a very large number. Hundreds of millions of dollars in the aggregate. Currently, you have a little over $100 million of that accrued on your books. Over the course of the next 23 or 4 years, I forget which, the residual of it will be accrued onto the books. It's an estimate. You engage an actuary. They perform all kinds of computations based on mortality tables, estimated inflationary trends, and whatnot, to determine what that liability is. And under the provisions of the Government Accounting Standards Boards, it is being amortized onto the books over a 30-year period. There are representations that are being have been made, and I'm in possession of the management representation letter signed by Superintendent Nolan and Bruce with regard to that. It's required in connection with every single audit engagement, as well as the attorney confirmation that we have also received. Those provide us the ability to place reliance upon the information that we have been provided. It's a rather lengthy document. It has been received, and it is signed. Your audit report will be dated as of the date of that document, which is October 9. Upon acceptance by this board, when I arrive back at the office, we will attach that date, attach our signatures to the reports, provide some PDFs of those things, those dot reports to Bruce so that he can fulfill his filing requirement, and we will be sending hard copy to follow. And from the audit standpoint, that really concludes my presentation, unless there are any questions from the board.
I'm going to open it the board up to some questions. Any questions of Dave? Dorothy?
Actually, we met last night with the audit committee. We sat for about 5 hours, and we went through the statement. We also met with the internal auditor as well. So we had a lengthy meeting last night. It was very in-depth, and I myself, I'm ready to approve this. I don't know if any of the board members have any questions.
Any questions?
As far as the financials. And
Mike?
The matter of the post-employment benefit obligation, that in fact is something that every municipality is going to have to contend with in the future, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Not only every municipality will have to contend with in the future, all municipalities are currently contending with it. You're about, depending upon the year that you were required to implement, every municipal government in New York State is somewhere between 4 and 7 years into the phase-in period of the 30-year period.
So we're really talking statewide, billions upon billions of dollars worth of post-retirement benefit obligations, I guess.
Actually, you're speaking nationwide, because the Government Accounting Standards Board does not just govern New York State. They dictate the accounting principles for the United States.
Right. So this is not unique to Sachem at all. This is something across the board,
across
throughout
the
country.
Across the board, across the country, every municipal government is looking at having to recognize the liability. Each and every municipal government is addressing it currently, to the best of my knowledge, in the same fashion. That fashion is what's referred to as the pay-as-you-go basis, because there currently exists no provision for you to fund it in a legal manner. And in a practical manner, you probably don't have $400 million to fund Slow such down. Liability.
No.
Right. Nor could you look to the taxpayers to fund that bill today for an obligation that is not due for 25, 30 years out.
So this, in fact, is an obligation on our part to record what we anticipate as a potential liability, you know, somewhere down the road. However, there is no obligation on our part at this time to set up any kind of fund, nor is there any kind of legal right for us to set up any kind of fund to fund this.
What you said is absolutely 100% correct, with
Thank
one
you.
Exception, and that was the word when you said potential liability. It is genuine.
Okay.
And currently the district is paying something on the order of about $13 million for the health insurance benefits for the existing cohort of retirees that are out there and receiving those benefits. The district is recognizing an expense annually of something just south of $30 million, which is the 1/30th approximately of the liability that is being recognized over the amortization period. But you can only, again, pay as you go, and that obligation on an annual basis for just the retirees is rough numbers, $13 million.
Thank you. Mike?
Hi, Dave, again.
How do you do?
Good.
I always like when you're here in October with this report, because to me I think it starts the foundation for our now budget cycle as we move forward. But there's sometimes a faction of the community that's somewhat skeptical about our monetary practices. So just a couple of quick questions. One is, I know you're a CPA, right? You've been a CPA for how many years?
1983.
You do the math. I can't.
What? You're my CPA. You can't do the math?
It's 30 years.
All right. Scratch the rest of my questions. And how many school audits have you done in your career?
Oh, God. I'll phrase that in the context of more than I care to count.
So literally
many.
Probably hundreds.
Many.
Okay.
Many.
And you don't live in the district. You have no ties to the district. This is purely business for you.
I like the restaurants down here, but I don't reside down here.
Okay. So, again, just to reiterate what you said and to put it in some common terms, you didn't find any improper practices, nothing that would raise an eyebrow in how we handle our finances. That's number one.
That is correct. The procedures and processes from a procedural standpoint, they have all been complied with, all the appropriate authorizations, all the appropriate supporting documentation, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed, everything was where it was supposed to be.
Okay. The part I love about your report is the balance sheet, the June 30th snapshot that's in the package. And if I could, I just want to focus quickly on what the term fund balance, because that's where a lot of people tend to focus there. It would be page 20 of the package. The balance sheet, the June 30th, 2013 snapshot, particularly down at the bottom where it says fund balance, because this is where people tend to have a misunderstanding about what that means, and they think that we have $14 million. Or $14.796151. But in actuality, just so everybody's clear, where it says assigned, that's $7.3 million. We're using that right now this year. We've used it, we've rolled it into our budget for the 13-14 school year. So it's already accounted for. The restricted dollars is the number of dollars in our workman's comp reserve and our other, I think it's the employee liability reserve, right?
Correct.
So the only thing unassigned is that $1.809 million.
That is correct.
Now, the law would allow us to have 4% of our previous budget in that fund, right?
The law, the provisions of New York State, and they'll permit you to have up to 4% in that category referred to as unassigned.
So in our case, that's roughly about almost $12 million.
It's between 11 and 12.
$12 million.
And page we have 52 we, has that number
right
on it, I believe.
I was trying to work from the one sheet. But
not a problem.
But we have 1.8. So two things. One is obviously we're not really funded in our unassigned reserve. We're to the amount that we could be by law. That's number one, right?
That is correct.
And secondly is, if you take the assigned $7.3 million, of which seven was from rollover, the other three I think came out of our reserves this year, and that 1.8, we roughly have about between $8 and $9 million that was realized at the end of the budget cycle from the expenditure lines. Was that fair to say, about 3%, a little less than 3% from our budget? I think our budget was 304. But roughly 300, and we had roughly between eight and nine left. That's fair to say?
The 2012-13 budget had originally appropriated $17.5 million, give or take $100,000 or so, and actually used, rough numbers, $9.3 million of that 17. So there was a return of the anticipated appropriated fund balance that was originally expected to be consumed in the 2011-12 budget,
right,
that was available to be reappropriated to help fund the 2012-13-14 budget.
So I guess my point I was trying to make is that we spent roughly 97% to 98% of what we thought we were going to spend.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And in your experience, I mean, other school districts, where do you see that fall? You see fund balances of 10%, 5%, 6%? What's your...
I have done several of these presentations during the course of the last month.
I know. I never can get you to give us a number.
Okay. Well, I have seen the unassigned fund balance in most of those districts between the 3 and 4% level. I have seen them at various stages of having their reserves in different states of being funded. I think the I know a year ago we met, and
a year ago when we reviewed the financial statements, that unassigned number was some $500,000 in change. The numbers tend to be very unwieldy here, okay, because $300 million, which is essentially what you handle, is a very large number. $500,000 or even $1.8 million is rounding, quite frankly. It's the near miss. It's something that you have to make an estimate today for some expectation that's not going to become reality for some 8 to 10 months down the road. You're beginning your budgetary process now. It's October. You are 8 months before that fiscal spending stream even starts. So you are 20 months before that fiscal ending stream even ends. Could you tell me what the price of gas is going to be in next December?
Well, that's the point I was getting to. I mean, yeah. Our budgeting and our estimating, you would say, is pretty very darn good.
That's very good.
Okay.
You do not overspend your budget. And while I'll say that as a compliment, because you don't, I will also tell you that by law you cannot, or you are not supposed to. Okay? So not only don't you do what you're supposed to. Okay? You live within the budget that is adopted, and by law that is exactly why you adopt that budget. You're supposed to live within those constraints. And unfortunately that means that the board collectively has many hard choices to make, which I see you grappling with right now, quite frankly. Okay? I know last year when we had this meeting, as I said, you had about $500,000 in fund balance, and the anticipated outcome as of October of 2012 was that the vast majority of that $17.6 or $17.3 million was expected to be consumed. The only reason that it was not was because the board took a proactive position and reacted to that situation stave off the complete expenditure of all of your liquid reserves. And while there can be debate as to what the adequacy is of your unassigned fund balance or how much of it you should have, one of the comments I made last evening to the audit committee is it is a barometer by which you can measure the working capital or the liquidity of your organization. And I'm going to direct your attention to one other number on this page. And it's the very first set of numbers. It's cash. Okay, cash is what you live with and what you spend and how you go ahead and make your operation work. In the aggregate, you have $27 million in total cash. 25 of that is in the general fund. There are no hidden pockets of additional resources. There was a modest transfer of about $1.7 million of residual unexpended balances from the Capital Projects Fund that occurred in 2012-13. That is a single one-shot revenue. It fell into 2012-13. It provided some of the surplus that we might want to refer to as surplus, or the lack of fully having expended your appropriated fund balance. It's been appropriated. It's included in that 7.3, or if you want to say it's all of the $1.8 million, I really don't care. The bottom line is that that singular one-time source of revenue has been consumed. At this point in time, all of your resources are basically housed within your general fund. And you can see that again when you take a look at that fund balance line that you drew our attention to. In the aggregate, you've got $16.4 million of equity, 14.7 of it's in the general fund. It's the only place where you have money. And of that, $7.5 million, or 7.3, has been anticipated to be used in the current year, roughly 50% of your equity in the general fund. And the other 5.7 is locked into reserves. And I use the word locked into because once the money goes into reserves, they can be used for that singular purpose for which that reserve has been established. And that constitutes $13 million or $14 million worth of fund balance. And on a $300 million operation, to have $1.8 million as your call it kitty slush fund, your available excess resources, or we can use the professional term of unassigned fund balance. That's not a lot. That's a blip. That's all it is. That's just a little insignificant blip that could occur.
Dave, I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Dave, I appreciate you coming out tonight. You always do an extremely thorough job, and you're always there to answer questions for us. So certainly I appreciate it, and look forward to our next audit. There was a question. I look forward to your next audit presentation. Thank you for coming.
So do I.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen and ladies.
So item 6.13 is the approval of the auditor's report. Again, in a motion. Mike Timo, second. Mike Isernia. Questions? Guess or not? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6.14, approval of coordinator's practice for the PSAT exam. Motion, please. All right. Mike Isernia, second by Sal Trippi. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 6.15, we're at the bottom of page 15, approval of field trips for the 2013-14 school year. A motion, please. Right, Mike Timo, second by Mike Isernia. Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Item 7, monthly reports. Okay, determinations on the Committee on Preschool Education. Special Education, does anyone have any questions or concerns on the information that was provided? Board of Education subcommittees. Okay, any questions? I know that I saw Perry Russell. Is he here? Perry, are you the new member of the new chairperson for the Budget Advisory Committee? Congratulations. Your next scheduled meeting is November 12th. Okay. And I'm assuming that you guys are going to be looking for a charge from the Board of Education. Okay. So, if the board could, come up with an idea as to what we want to charge the Budget Advisory Committee with. I know that you had mentioned possibly getting one of our assistant business officials, or even Bruce Singer there, to the Associate Superintendent for Business, to one of your meetings to explain budget lines for the new members. Okay. I know it was a tremendous help. Any other, Dana, anything on the Legislative Committee? Nothing? Okay. Yeah. Dana, I don't want to just call out from the meeting. I just, is there a reference to one of the committees? Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Dana. Okay. Okay.
So there we go. My name is Dana DeMeo, and I'm here representing the Audit Subcommittee. As you've already heard, last night we met with our internal auditor, Cullen and Donesky, and our external auditor, Toski and Company. We received several reports, including an independent auditor's report for Sachem's financial statements and a risk assessment update report for Sachem's internal controls and processes. While the audits provided clean opinions, the committee has concerns regarding fund balance management and the ramifications on next year's budget. You see, while we are spending within our budget, there's a systematic concern that the budgets exceed revenues, planning to spend more than you earn, essentially. So therefore, at this time, the Audit Committee requires more time to digest these matters and will be better prepared to provide a summary to the board at a future meeting. In addition, we encourage the board to allow Mr. Donald Hoffman from Cullen and Donesky to present his risk assessment findings at the next board meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that update. All right. 2013-14 update to the board. Bruce, anything that you wanted to bring up that wasn't on the agenda? Jim? No. Okay. Any board members? Any updates to the board? Presentation and discussions. We completed them. Closing. Any visitors, Carol? John Choisi?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board and the cabinet. I'd just like to speak to you briefly tonight about the resolution that I emailed to the board yesterday, and for those of us in public here who obviously wouldn't know, I just sent it to all of you. This is a resolution that I'm asking the board to support that calls upon the New York State Board of Regents to stop its over-reliance on standardized tests as a measure of student performance and principal and teacher effectiveness. In having some conversations with some of my colleagues recently, you know, certainly now that the new APPR scores have rolled out, and then asking them, do you feel that there were any mitigating factors perhaps during all of this high-stakes testing that may have had an effect on the kids' performance? And, you know, it was the common question that I asked all of them, and unfortunately, I got very common answers, and they weren't good ones. Things like kids sobbing at their desks, kids crawling underneath their desks, leaving the room, going to the nurse, a story about one boy wet himself in anticipation of taking one of these tests last year. In the email that I sent to all of you, and just to share some of that here again publicly, as a labor organizer, I certainly see you know, the objective in calling upon the Board of Regents and asking them to stop it, to fix it, or to scrap it. As an educator, I see that this half-baked system that is now being imposed upon children, teachers, administrators, and school districts, and is doing little or no good for any of us, and is doing more to hurt us and more to pigeonhole what we do as a school than anything else, and most importantly, as a parent of 18-month-old girls who in a couple of years will be in kindergarten, I can't see supporting a system that in essence is going to test our children and expose their failures before it even attempts to teach them anything. And that's really what has been rolled out and rolled on top of us. And when I say us, I mean teachers, administration, parents, school districts from SED. And SACHM has always shown leadership in matters like this. And I see this not even so much as a business decision, but just as one between right and wrong. And so I would like to ask for SACHM to continue to show that leadership and join with some of the districts across the island and across the state. And this list is by no means inclusive, but to my understanding, districts adopting similar resolutions include Eastport, South Manor, Hopog, North Babylon, Old Bethpage, Three Village, Huntington, Shoreham Wading River, Comsawag, Smithtown, Sayville, Riverhead, Central Islip, West Islip, Deer Park, Middle Country, Great Neck, North Belmore, and I'm sure more have been added to that, and certainly more across the state. I would like to see SACHM be added to that list, and for us to continue showing the leadership we always have in matters that are right and wrong and most pertinent to students, to their well-being, and to their overall education as people. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Just a quick response to that. I appreciate the email that you sent to the board. We haven't had any discussion about that. Certainly, we could add that as a future discussion item, in anticipation that, you know, that after your email, I did reach out to the board president over at Smithtown. I do have the resolution that Smithtown made from the district clerk over at Smithtown, and what I will do is I will share it with the board to take a look at it, and you know, certainly at a future discussion, a future meeting, we could have a discussion as to whether or not we want to pursue that. But certainly, I appreciate you coming out. Richie Sayers. Yep, you know what? Okay. Carol, any other business. And so it brings us to Board of Education discussion of future agenda items. Okay, Mike.
Jim, if we could we get an update on this conflict between the eighth grade algebra students and then happen to take the eighth grade test, and whether that's we got relief from the state or what our plans are, because I know we were short instructional days. We can get something on that next meeting. And secondly, if we could, I'd like to get the status of 245 Union Avenue as a discussion item to ultimately decide. I think we were going to get Mr. Givens, Bruce, was going to come and give us a presentation. He was the appraiser.
Right. I finally spoke to him today after a few weeks of missing each other. He has engagements with New York State and New York City through January. He said he'd be more than happy to discuss with the board, but he's in Manhattan for the next month or so, month and a half. So he'll address any questions. If you want to email, if we could have a phone conversation with him. But he's working out of his New York City office until January. So unfortunately can't personally attend here, but he'd be more than happy to discuss his report.
Okay, but still I think we need to get it as a discussion item, because certainly if we're going to do anything with that property, we should do it as quickly as possible.
On that topic, I know we had mentioned this last time, when we do discuss that, the folks from the Holbrook Chamber have expressed interest in participating in that.
Sure.
I want to make sure that they're included and they're aware of it and they participate in that meeting.
Sure.
Yeah, and if we could have that like sooner than later, because I think that's kind of important for us to do now.
Discuss personal matters. I need a motion. Is there any second by Sal Trippi? All in favor? Opposed? Motion's carried.